on over and a continuation of the visit with Miss Chitty this Thursday night at supper, this 9th of September, 71. Channel 1 over. Continuation of the visit with Miss Chitty this Thursday night at supper, this 9th of September, 71. Channel 1 over. And a continuation of the visit with Miss Chitty this Thursday at supper, the 9th of September, 71.
I reckon we have to work on this when we're building it.
How long has Willie been busy, pretty well, you know, taking a big part down there?
He's been a deacon down there now, but well, I don't know hardly what to say.
Well, has he been
there a good while as a deacon?
Yeah.
And Martin's a deacon up in Gainesville.
Well, did Willie go back to this new church?
Yes, sir, that's the only one we got to go to, is a new one. And it's been there 22 years now.
Well, that's what I say. Does his time go back that far? Did he take a hand in getting the church there?
Well, I don't quite understand you.
Well, that's a little bit early for him. He was doing too many other things then, paying for his house and all. He didn't have time to spend in the church then, did he?
No, sir, it wasn't. He has been going to that church, he and his family, ever since it's been built.
Yeah.
But he's only been a deacon there about 10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
You take Barbara, she ain't no baby anymore.
Yeah.
She was born 42.
Yeah.
He went and served.
Well,
came home out of service in 46.
Was he pretty busy in church when he got out of service?
Yes, and he went pretty regular.
But he didn't work in it and take part so much.
Well, sometimes they'd get him to be a training union teacher or a Sunday school teacher.
Oh, that goes way back.
All these things. And just to think
now,
how proud and happy his old father would be to have known and seen all this coming on.
Yeah.
And Martin, he's a deacon in his church up there.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether he has Sunday school classes or train union classes or anything like that, but his wife has more to do with that than he does, I think.
Yeah. Well, look, Uncle Rhett don't drive them cattle now.
Oh, no, sir. Not on his own. He's got his own land back there that he don't have to bother about going that wrong to somebody else.
Yeah. But he takes care of his cattle back there on his own land. Uncle Red. Does he come to church?
Oh, yes. He's a deacon down there, you know.
Oh, he is.
And Sybil's father was a deacon. Frank and Mr. Mixon was ordained deacons together.
Oh, really?
And I don't like, well, you see, Frank was dead when this new church was built.
Yeah.
But he had put as his amount that he told him he'd try to put in at a certain time.
Yeah.
He'd hand it in on his portion of the church bill.
Yeah.
And one time I think he handed in $25 at one time.
Yeah. Mr. Tobias now, well, he never went to church.
I never seen him at one.
Yes.
He didn't even come down to the churches around. You know, we used to, when we'd have a political business back then, they'd have wherever they could get a political church and, I mean, a church to donate the place, the dinners and things for the political speech. I don't really know he was living here when Governor Katz was governor.
No.
Governor Sidney J. Katz.
Yes.
He was our preacher before he was our governor.
Oh, he was.
And after he was elected governor, he told the people, says, well, now I'm not bragging on what I will do, what I can do, but I will try. He says, I'm going to see. I hear our state is deeply in debt, has been left, or will be left deeply in debt. I'm going to see if I'm made governor, if I can't do better than the rest of the governors then do. So he went in there, he was elected, and when he walked out of the governor's office, Florida was clean clear of any debt.
Well, now, was that in Mr. Frank's time?
Yes. And we had several political dinners down there for governors, presidents, senators, and all the men that holds office in the state for business, anything. Tax collectors, tax assessors, all. They all come in, you see, each county. Every county would have their part of the elections and all. And they had big dinners here and they had big dinners and oh, big dinners, young.
Yeah.
And we'd have maybe two sometimes, and they'd be out in front of the old church. And I've heard my husband say time again, well, I may live to see so-and-so go in office. Well, he's seen so-and-so go in office. He read the papers where it said Governor Sidney J. Katz. And it said, Reverend Governor Sidney J. Katz is now leaving us. And we trust that the next governor will keep it just like he's leaving.
Yeah.
He says he's got everything cleared up. That Florida don't owe nothing.
So you all were right proud of him.
I almost had to jam my handkerchief in my mouth a lot of times when he'd be preaching and he'd been on dance. And it was given around during a revival, night meeting.
Yeah.
He'd say, well, I don't see anybody. I don't see Brother so-and-so. And sister so and so. I don't see many of the young people out tonight. He says, I know. He says, I heard there was going to be a shindig. Well, of course, that got the young people laughing, you know, about it. So I guess a lot of them going to the shindig. He says, you know, he says, one of our leading sister members is giving this shindig. He says, I feel awfully sorry for her. He pulled him a chair up and he crossed the leg. He kind of stopped back, you know. He was thunder-headed. And stood when I killed him, opening up a fiddle case or something. He got there and he says, well, he says, folks, he says, I want to tell you, says they're all having a big time. He was a plan. Hot light lady, the cake's all dough. Hot light lady, the cake's all dough. I thought everybody in that church would just die from laughing. He says, well, he says, that's what they're doing, the hot light cake. Hot light lady, the cake's all dough. He says, well, what they're going to do when the Almighty Hunter calls them? But you reckon they're going to be there? But he get me so tickled sometimes, so I stick my hands in my mouth.
You mean right there in church?
Right there in church. But just something, just in the way he would say it.
Yes.
But the hot light ladies, the cakes all do. I he pulled his chair up on me. He was such, reached around, got the chair in the pulled. Sit down. Made out like he's taking his fiddle out of the case, you know, and he's out there. He'd make noise just like fiddle.
Yeah.
And then he'd go to singing hot light, they played his cake song.
Well, no wonder he got the big governor, Missy. No wonder he got the big governor. He could do that. Now,
then I don't know how to play a fiddle. I don't know how to play a violin. I don't know how to do nothing, he says, but I know to get up there and to pull the bull across, and I know to get up there and to knock the fingers on things. Then they got something, they hit it, go bungy to bungy to bung. He says, don't know nothing about them. I don't use them, never have. But I'm telling you, he says, well, he says, we've all, a lot of people last us for the time, you know. He says, well, says, we've had a good life. And a lot of us, we shed quite a few tears.
Yeah.
He says, I hope this little fun, making, don't hurt anyone here in the church. He says, I don't blame you for laughing at me. He says, but that's just the way it is. Leave God's house to go to a frolic camp or frolic thing. When you've got other nights that you can give them parties on, when we don't have work going on for the Lord. You see, now I had to sit here and just, he says, I hope it's touched a whole lot of his heart the way I explain that thing.
It looked like he'd have a pretty good following. Uncle Red and all those fellas, they ought to got together pretty well.
Rick didn't do nothing to settle them last. He was going to church at the same time preacher gets was preaching there.
Yeah. And all he done was just sit over and laugh.
And then when Preacher Moncrief was preaching there too, Rick come by there one Sunday morning with a bunch of cows. Keeping and a hollering and a cussing and a popping the whip. Preacher Moncrief says, well, he says, as soon as we get through driving cows, to where they want them to go, we'll pick up where we quit off. He says, let's have another song or two. Sing just as loud as you can. And some of them picked out when the rollers called up yonder, I'll be there. And they sang just as loud as they could get it.
And drowned him out?
Drowned out his hauling at the cows and his cussing. And at that time, there was the old church organ was in that, and some of them played the organ. Well, didn't know it hadn't been played as long, didn't know where it worked or not. But, maybe a rat or two in that preacher. He says, well, let's pump him out. And the old sister, I think, couldn't Mary Gray, couldn't Charlie's wife, couldn't Charlie Gray's wife, I think she got the organ. And they got to pumping it, you know, the pedals, you know. She says, I don't think there's enough strap on these pedals to make them bring air up to the notes. And put hands down on them. And they went to playing. And some little kid, I don't know who it was, wasn't on the line, says, Miss Grace, the poor rat comes running out of there. She says, well, says, let him run. And somebody else says, have you ever seen a rat in church that's able to run? You say, all church rats before. Got that organ to go in, and Rhett Dantzler's wife played the piano. And they kept the organ and the piano going and singing at the top of our voice. Two or three cows on back down that way. See them go by the windows, you know. Hey, going just what he could on that horse. Turned around, come. Yeah, you almost got what he was saying. You're popping your whip. And we're still singing. As loud as we could. And the roll is called up yonder, I'll be back. And I don't know. After that, it was a good while, a long, long time before they had any more cows to drive. See, they generally bring them from that field up in there, came back down to another field, back down there. But Cousin Charlie owned at that time. But since he died, the Johnsons got hold of it. And I can't think of the people's name living in that house across from me. He's got that. And this field back across from the church now.
Did Meta go to a church there?
Once in a great while he would go.
Yeah.
And boy, you talk about a man singing. He had a voice for singing.
Well, don't tell me.
Well, he could sing. And he could almost coach you anything. You could bring up a subject. About the Bible.
Yeah.
And he'd bring the subject up where you could
just cut out a little of that light. It's blinding me. And he could, is that right?
He could tell you what book, what chapter, anything in that Bible. But people made so much fun of him. He didn't go as clean and as neat as he should have done. But in the summertime, when you didn't need no coat, he had a pretty good, nice shirt and a nice pair of pants. Him and the boys walked down back of our house down there in that little sinkhole down there. take a bath, clean it up early Sunday morning now, back up, ready for church. Most of the time we walk.
Yeah.
For a while we went horse and buggy. Well, the family got too big. Buggy side went in the wagon. Well, it's just too much. Well, the horse is working too hard. We can't afford to work them hard all week and drive them on Sunday. All right, for that, we walked to church and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That poor fellow sure suffered. He had a cancer coming up down in his head, and his brother taking it. 10 years old, my doctor in Jacksonville taking that nurse.
Oh, his brother was a doctor?
Yes, and then he had none to come on his eye, you know, down here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe it was his left eye to come on, because that cancer was up on his side. Well, he went to his brother and taking it off, and he thought he had pretty well checked and everything. Finally, broke out again, got over here, went across his nose, got into this eye, and so died from cancer eating his eyes out.
Yeah. How late was that? Was that after the new church was going to come in?
Mm-hmm. That's right, before the new church came in.
He died before Mr. Frank?
Nope, Frank was dead because he come to the church and the church was so full so he couldn't get in. And then when he went back to the went to the cemetery, he was there and he wanted to see Frank.
Oh.
But he wouldn't open it up so he could see.
And he had the cancer then.
Yeah, both eyes. Well, one was done gone, the other one near about gone. But he said he believed he could. He says I believe I could have seen Frank, because I think God would have let my eyesight come to me enough to see him. Because he had to go around with a stick, you know.
Yeah.
Stick around. And he died in.
Well, he had that voice.
Oh, he was a good baser. He could be sitting out yonder.
Yeah.
And bunching here singing with a book. He didn't have no book to look at. And when sometime come on the fourth part of that, boy, it's just like a big bass drum would bump up out there somewhere.
Is that right?
And then a lot of times in the house we'd all have books. He'd have one. He said, sure, I can't see that well enough to. But both of his eyes was pretty good then. He says, I can't see that well enough to sing it by these lamplights. And I'm just tripping. And he, sometimes some of them would ask him to. Well, Mr. Matter, some of them got to call him Doc. Well, Doc says, how about giving a speech? He says, what's the name of the song? So and so and so. And he, going around his mind, you know. All at once, he's going, oh, thank you very much. Somebody checked for the book down. And he could sing alto, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, you know, he, that's interesting. Now, he was, and then he worked with the boys out in the field and everything.
And then nobody around his own stepdaughter. Didn't want him to come to her house to spend the night. said he was too nice.
Yeah.
But he tried to be just as clean as that cancer could be, rested every day.
Yeah.
And he'd wash his hands good and clean, he'd get soap, get outside to the pan, soak his hands, and wash them, to throw that water out, come back in, get some more water, put the soap up. I always had an extra towel there for him to drown.
Yeah.
Because I needed his dinner, and he could make this sort of grace as you would want to get.
Oh, really?
He could bless the food just as good. And then beans, picking time, we'd help him pick beans, help him pick peas, come in. Well, Miss Frank, sometimes call Miss Frank, sometimes call Miss Chitty. He'd say, "You gonna can any of these peas?" And Mr. Frank said he wants some peas put up. I said, "I guess so, Mr. Commander." Most of the time I told him, "Mr. Commander," he said, I'll see what Brother Frank says about how many crates he wants to bring to the house. Now don't you bring too many. He'd go to Lacey. He says, "These will sell good." I just got them beans yet to put up, you know. "Well, what have you and Margaret been doing? You ain't put them beans up." Margaret said, "Well, Mr. Miller, we've been busy." So we've been emptying out old stuff, cleaning up jars, and hunting for more jars. I've got tomatoes there now that I put up. I think I put them up last year. Just whole tomatoes in the jar. It's as pretty as they can be.
Yeah.
And you know, when we come up here from down there, Orange County, down there to Popka, I had how many tomatoes I had put up, and I didn't try. I didn't try to put up beans. Boy, I had the tomatoes. I think I must have about a dozen and a half quart jars of home canned tomatoes. And Uncle Martin, he told his daughter, he says, "Amy?" She says, "Yes, Pa, what?" He says, "Now let me tell you something." Says, "Aunt Farrah's going to open up some tomatoes with them." Pa says, I brought over a pint of tomatoes. He says, "Well, you put yours in one dish and put Aunt Farrah's in another. But I want you to eat some of Aunt Farrah's tomatoes." Well, she had put hers up. She put them up, put a little salt to them. Well, I put mine up, and I didn't put no salt to them. I just can't keep stuff up here without adding a little salt to them when you can. But down yonder, you could put it up and keep it.
Oh, really? Well, I never heard
so
that.
So, when we opened up the tomatoes, then Nanny said, "Well, Pa," he says, "yeah, put yours on one bowl, and you're going to add first on another." And when they open up, she says, "Well, ain't them pretty?" Says, "They're just like you gathered them yesterday and put them up." Martin says, "Yes, there's near taste, just like you got them out of the of the garden or out of the field, wherever it comes from. But I don't see how it can be that good, Pa. So she sat down. He was, well, after I went there, they put me ahead of the table in it. He sat there. She sat there. Frank said, originally the man is ahead of the house. He sat ahead of the table. They put me, I said, oh, Mark, you sat here and let me sit there. No. Well, let Frank sit here and let me sit. No. He said, I want you to sit ahead of the table.
Is that right?
I sat there. All the years that we all lived in the old house, that was my place at the table. Unless we had company, you know. I had to kind of wait back till the first table was. But anyway, when we sat down, Fernandy was here, Uncle Martin was here. Frank was over there. Frank looked at him and he says, you know, he says, them black yoga natives there. He says, what's the matter with them down there? Oh, Martin says, you just be quiet, Frank. He says, I didn't hear all you said. He says, but I know by your motions and all that you're talking about, it's made it. Just wait now.
Yeah.
So we opened up
Close
there. Opened up the tomatoes, I mean, all got on the table and everybody began to reach and ask, well, and pass them around, you know. Frank said, well, hand me them down, mate. But I'm not curiosity. Some of them anyway had a good name. So this I might put up, Frank. It always is. So he got him a few of them. I'm not sitting there. But the eyes would be with. How's the taste, Frank? Well, that tastes like they've been salty. He said, that tastes very good. Well, he didn't have none of mine, but I had some of mine. And says, mine, are you looking at it? You wasn't going to salt in there. I said, nope. He said, when I come in, he says, why did you go and salt yours? I didn't say and salt any further. She says, well, I just did. I says, hand me them matters. She says, Paul's been going on about them. So she got some out. She says, Paul, you're right about them tasting like come right out of the field or the garden. She says, well, I got to have some salt on. She says, you didn't put no salt in them when you put them up? I said, no, ma'am. He says, Annie, you look at him. He says, Annie. He said, she brought a dozen and a half jars of tomatoes up here. He says, and I don't know how many jars of tomato pickles and how many jars of guava jelly. He says, well, but you won't have to buy no pickles anyway. So I went and got a jar of the pint of the green tomato pickles, you know. I thought that old soul was going to eat them all up.
Yeah.
You think you're going to...
You were married in 1913. Your mama died in 14.
Mm-hmm.
And your daddy remarried in 17.
He remarried in 16.
And when did you and Uncle Martin died in 23? When did you come up here from Apopka?
1915 and November 1915.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you came up here and lived with the Chitties. Well, of course, your papa...
Well, me and Frank was already married, just even mama died.
Yes.
sat the papa and the three children home, Rosalie, Eddie, and Maggie.
Yeah. So you left your family and came up here with Frank.
We come up here to take care of Uncle Martin. And anyway, we...
Cousin Annie, now was...
That was Uncle Martin's daughter.
Yes. Now, was she the one that lived back of you?
Back over on the hill in another big two-story building.
Yes.
Old, big house, porch, banistered all out there. L porch down here on the front. Had one porch around on the back. We didn't get one around on the back of ours.
Yeah.
Of course, it was that house was built after Uncle Martin's house. The one that burned, we lived in, I think. I don't know, I think Margaret's got the date that it was built, because Mr. Nettles said that he helped to build the house. And have to build the chimneys that was built up there.
But the house...
Anyway, that house is about 6 years older than me.
Oh. Oh, really? Well, it's about the age of this one. This one goes back to the 90s.
Yes.
Uh-huh. This is about the oldest house in this community. You wouldn't think so, would you? But these big houses over here were built around 1910. That seems to be the date in here where these big houses.
Well, I was born in 1892. And that goes on.
Well, you just the age of this house, Miss Titty.
Let's see.
Yes, sir. You and this house. And both of you in pretty good shape, aren't you?
Most of all, I wouldn't say so.
Let me tell you.
Praise for a while, so he's standing here going in a hole.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, me too. Let me tell you, unless somebody just tears it down. You see, they don't like these old houses anymore. I like them.
Me too. I wish mine was still.
Now, yeah. Cousin...
I wish mine was still living.
Cousin Annie...
That was a two-story building, too.
Uh-huh. Now, is that Annie Jo? Yeah. Now, what house was that? Was that her husband's house? No.
Yeah, Annie Jo Matthews married Uncle Martin's daughter, Annie.
Yeah. Well, now, was that his old family place over there?
Yes, in his old house that they raised most of their children, or most of the children, I guess they've been born in there, most of them, anyway, was partly standing there where they used it for seed and tools and things. And then up on the hill, back going on the Williston Road, on the hill back up there, was another big two-story building.
Your cousin Annie Taylor?
Mm-mm.
That was right across the road from you.
Well, her home was still on, well, her father, her husband's father lives there.
Yeah.
Cousin Annie Joe's father lives there too. See, there was two Annies, two brothers. I had a daughter Annie, a peach.
Yeah.
Uncle Martin's was Annie. She married Joe Matthews. Cousin Annie was Uncle Cooper's Annie, and she married Joe's brother Will Matthews. Yeah.
Well, who was the Taylor, Annie Taylor?
Well, it's Cousin Will died, she married Will Taylor. But Cousin Joe's parents and Cousin Will's parents, they lived over a long, long time in just, I reckon, an old log house for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And maybe just plain. I'm going to fix up too much of a big plate for me now, because I haven't been too long got through my dinner. I didn't eat till late today. And
I promised you that we wouldn't keep you late tonight, wouldn't keep you after dark.
And, cousin Charlotte Gray's wife, they had two story house, Hannah's two story store.
Yeah.
Right there at Fleming. And years before I come up here, you know, you've heard them talk about people going south, traveling, and stagecoaches and things like that. And they'd always stop at an inn. Well, just about, well, for the, well, in between Harry Smoke's house across from the store there and that his son's house, there used to be an old inn that stood there for years and years and years. Now, Harry Smoke's house wasn't that till in, oh, well, mine was instead. I could tell you the year that it was built in.
What, Uncle, this Earl Matthews we was talking about last
one thunder and lightning struck.
Yes. Was he kin to Joe and Will?
Well, Matthew's oldest son. Banana's oldest son.
Oh, that was her boy. Oh, so that happened late. That long afterwards, wasn't it? How long after that? Way on.
I don't know, open day.
That's
lightning late. Struck him before his mother died.
Yeah.
And she lived up in house on the Wellston Road. That's where they were all born and raised. Lettuce and essence salad, french fries,
yeah,
and cabbage. And I want you to taste that. This is something that tastes good.
Yeah.
Don't happen to be heat meat, does
it? No, it's not heat meat.
Now, where was you when that happened?
Living right same place I'm living now.
Well, who told you about it? Everybody.
Well, we all found it out about the same time.
Yeah,
right?
They all knew about that, didn't they? Yeah. And that was Cousin Annie's boy. Oh, well, what do you know?
See, I had two Cousin Annie's. Cousin Annie Joe and Cousin Annie Will.
Yeah. Well, what do you know?
I guess I remember.
The only reason I could that drip out there is so noisy, see?
Yeah, Mel Anna is probably going to call us, so I'll put it on. You know, we were going
to. Oh, I forgot to put it back on. I'm sorry, hell, try.
And
you came in 1915.
Yes. You come to Florida in 1910.
We're going to have a blessing.
I didn't bring none of mine because I just taken a little dose for you. Oh, come on, my tonic. three times a day.
You say the blessing, Miss Kitty?
May the Lord make us thankful for what we've had to see that Christ has been.
Looks like we've got something. You shut the door.
There's noisy out there.
Oh, is that it?
Can't hear. We got that old drip right out there. I keep thinking I'll move that. It doesn't do a bit of good.
It's good. It's noise.
Yeah. Try to drown the out in it.
Drown things out.
Well, cabbage. I love cabbage. You know, you all have had better cabbage down here, and I got here just at the tail end of it. You know, they used to raise big fields of cabbage, but they had just about quit when I got down here, Miss City. And I'll tell you, I never realized just how much better it is to get the cabbage right out of the field and bring it in and eat it. Right fresh out of the field.
That is sure sweet.
And I bought one Saturday night at the bartail. You know what I mean.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And North Marion Market. And this devil made me bite my tongue.
Oh. Oh, too bad. Bite your tongue. That hurt.
Uh-huh.
Eat lettuce with a spoon, Miss Kitty. You don't want to salt your salad. Oh, you do? Okay.
Are there anything else in the little tea, huh?
A little salt on it. Makes it that much better. How do you cook cabbage? You just put it in and boil it this way?
Well,
some people fry it, you know.
We fry them sometimes.
Fry cabbage?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Yeah. I like
fried cabbage. Have a fried cabbage with
it? I don't know. I never have. It's good.
I've fried them too. And I've made cabbage dressing out of what's been left from, say, like today's dinner and supper, what wasn't eat. I take it and pick up what to keep from salmon, put in the refrigerator. What do you do when you have refrigerators to put things in?
Yeah.
You eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Use them the next day and they didn't kill you.
Yeah. You mean just put them up and save it for the next day?
Then we'd put I would take them cabbage, put them in the pan, whack them up good with cornbread. Take cornbread, crumb it up, cut up some onion, put some onions up in, black pepper in. Put in another pan and cover it over good with grease, you know, and let it bake.
Okay.
Take it out and stir it up. Maybe good cabbage dressing.
Good cabbage again. And that's the leftovers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, leave them at home now.
Oh dear, and you just plank it to cook for, you don't need a whole lot, do you?
Yeah, I didn't know before I got sick. I got sick. Of course, I don't do any cooking.
Do you and Frankie just, did you all just eat by yourself sometimes?
Yes, sir.
Well, it seemed like when I pulled up there, you always had several people.
And sometimes Daddy Ann would eat with us.
Well, she's home, folks. Pardee family, they, now Uncle Ben Mixon, he come on over in your direction, but the Pardees, they went over on the other side?
What do you mean? Church or anything?
Yeah.
Our neighborhood? Or?
Yeah. I remember.
No, the Pardees used to come down a little bit to church, but not much.
Yeah.
But I think they mostly went to the Methodist church.
Oh, is that what happened?
If they went to any at all.
Yeah.
Oh. About anybody's going to church now, because I haven't been in a long time. They can all be ashamed to say it, but
what was old man?
Mom always told me to tell the truth. It hurt. It had to hurt.
What was Cecil's daddy's name?
Will.
Mr. Will. Yes.
And his mother was named Etty.
Well, now, he was right across the road from Mr. Ben.
Well, he's... Yeah, his youngest son's living in the old home place. Cecil's youngest brother's living on the old home place.
Oh, is that right? What's his name?
Larry.
Oh, yes, you told me that.
And he has a boy named, they call him Larry.
Larry. Well, where did they get that Larry business?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Laura. And Laura is Carol's name.
Yeah.
I don't know where they got it, but.
He almost had a girl's name.
And Larry, he jumped it both ways.
Uh-huh.
I thought nephew Larry.
Larry
Boyd.
Yeah.
And his mother is a Johnson now. And she's been a card. Now, something that winged or something, it was him wrong. He come in drunk, raising hell around there, and she put him out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who was that?
My nephew, the mother to this. Mother to this nephew of mine.
Yeah.
Great nephew.
Well, now, you all visited over there, Mr. Ben, a whole lot.
Yes, we used to visit there.
But you never visited so much over there at Mr. Wills.
Never was in his house. And big times Mr. Will would be out chawing tobacco. and John Snuff. Come back and wondering if I had any snuff I could let him have. Mr. Frank had chewing tobacco. Yeah. I'm gonna ask him. Don't ask me. I said, if you want bad chewing tobacco, then you ask him.
Yeah. He'd run out and he'd come by y'all's house and ask if you had little he could borrow. Is that it?
I gave him a whole box of snuff one time. And they did take that. Frank gave him a whole plug of tobacco one time. He didn't take that.
He just forgot about it, didn't he? Well, were they poor?
Not any poorer than we were, Mr. Miles. We worked for what we got.
Yeah.
And didn't get much when we got it.
No.
And they were all good workers. They could get out and make the money to buy this out of the other.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it.
Oh, they didn't.
They lay around there and wait for the old daddy to go to town, buy them the smoking and the chewing, snuff. Now, Essie didn't use snuff. But the daddy, old man Will, did.
Well now, Well now, he never got in anybody's way. He never bothered anybody.
I don't reckon he didn't bother anybody down on that side.
He just harmless. Well, that's what I mean on that side. He lived over on the other side more than he did on your side.
Pepsi's gonna
make me burp, and I don't want to.
Oh, that's a sign you're enjoying it.
Yes, sir.
Well, I've got a niece. If she burps one time, from anything she's eat or drink, uh-huh. You can keep right on if you think all the burping business is done with.
Yeah.
She can burp right on the sound just like she burped the first time. And keep right on it, she burped 25 times. Mm-hmm. Great news. That's great news. She can all on burp. And you just keep it going. Grandma says, my goodness, Lizzie. What are you doing? She says, I'm burping. So I said, give my earth been about that. And she said, burp.
Then, Teddy, we are fast eaters. So what I have to do, I have to
do
sit back.
Do you have dentures?
Yeah. What I have to do is sit back and rest a while. See, I eat fast, I get tired.
I know, but do you have dentures?
Yes, ma'am.
Mine don't fit good.
Mine,
I have to press
mine
through
don't
this
either.
So
yeah. Well, some people can just bite an apple, you know. They don't seem to make any difference.
I got two out of him. I broke them out. Eating. I think it was baked chicken bag. And I got two or three out down here.
Yeah. Well, it would be a trouble sticking back in.
About $5 a piece.
I don't think so.
Well, Frankie, he's a money man now. With all those payments he makes, it wouldn't make much difference to him, would it? Just $5. And they all got after Frankie, Faye.
Well, that's why.
I think it's because he's good natured. Every time I'm over there, you know, I say all sorts of things to him. And,
he don't get mad at you or anything like that. It's just the way the boys do. Get him in front of somebody, you know, and make fun of what he does and how he don't do. That's what hurts him. Maybe sometimes he'll take it up and then. Just according to how he's feeling, a lot of times he's saying something so and so ought to have been done, this, that, and the other. And Frankie will look at him. Well, who in the H is doing what's going on here? I don't know. I don't hear you for words.
No, that's a big place when you keep up the fence. And he does a lot of mowing too, Miss.
Yes. And then he has work for the boss man. He has to put up things.
And you know what he does, don't you?
Yes. But he's got a pretty good boss man, though, to a certain extent. Frankie gets in tight and needs a little help. Give him a little help.
Is that right? Well, that's bad. I'm telling you, it's something to have somebody to call on.
And I'm hoping that Frankie don't have any more bad luck with his cows, and that he can get them all good shape for selling. And we ain't gonna sell enough to make the amount of money he borrowed. But of course, he'll make enough maybe to bring it down a good bit. Because you don't make enough working up there to take so much from his check. And when he works for Mr. Zetrise Dover, and Henry Chew, yeah. Well, we always say Jeanette, because Jeanette. Henry always stayed stuck in games for Henry's daughter. I think he's somewhere there.
And then Jeanette was always on a horse.
And on tractor sometimes, too.
Oh, you knew her when she was growing up.
I knew her mother before she was married, too.
Who is she?
Jenna's mother. She was Louise Smoke.
Oh.
I don't think they ever taken stepfather's name Cannon on. I was two younger girls probably might have. But I don't think her and Evelyn.
Frankie's boss man. It seems to me, I got the idea somewhere, Mitchie, that he wasn't too easy to please.
Well, sometimes he ain't. Frankie and Willie and others has worked for him. And all right. Fill it out. I will be giving you your walking papers directly. Frank said, well, so when you give them to me, I reckon maybe I'll be able to tell them. others has worked with him, and they're not easy to get along with, Mr. Zetlow, like Frankie is. As long as you treat Frankie right, Frankie's going to walk alongside that. But when you go to pushing him around, and all right, he only to know that there's something besides a bit of Frankie, too.
Yeah. Mr. Zetchow, I think Frankie told me one time, he'd lay down, he'd be putting in a...